Gloria stuff started, we were in chapter 11. And it's been quite a while since we were able to do Sunday school because of the building program going on and this COVID stuff. So we're doing a review of it. And if you would like to read, or if you would read in the book of Revelation in your Bible, the last book of the Bible, just read chapters 1 through 11. And when you get finished, just start reading it over again. And it will certainly help you in the study we've been doing. But we left off last week, like I said, at the church of Thyatira. And we're going to start there this morning. And that name, Thyatira, or however you say it, Thyatria or whatever it is, it actually means continual sacrifice. Continual sacrifice. Now, this church, the Lord had a few things to say against this church here. And there was much to expose and condemn in this assembly. The assembly being the people. Their works were known by God, just as He knows all of our works. He knew all about their works. Their works were known by God, and He lays emphasis on their works, not the works of the church, but their works as an individual. They were depending on themselves and thought they deserved merit for their works. Now, not only was this church tolerant of evil, but it was proud and unwilling to repent. It was proud and unwilling to repent. The Lord even threatened to use the church as an example to all churches. As an example to all churches. Not to tolerate evil. Not to tolerate evil. Not everyone in His church was unfaithful to the Lord. But the majority were. And to those, He had a special word. They had separated themselves from the false doctrine and compromising practices of Jezebel and her followers. Jesus denounced them as the depths of Satan. The depths of Satan. Now, what you like to be known as the depths of Satan. That's pretty sad. Pretty sad. God made no special demands on them. All He asked was them, He asked for them to do this. Hold fast. Hold fast. Stand firm. Stand firm and do what? Resist. Resist the evil. Resist the evil. He even told them, if you would look in verse, I'm not sure exactly which verse it is, but it's somewhere in verse 24 through 29 of chapter 2. He says, I will put upon you none other burden. I will put upon you none other burden other than to stand firm. Hold fast, stand firm, and resist the evil. That's all He was asking them to do. And He says, right here, and also in talking about this church, we see the very first mention, in Revelation of the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming for the church. Now, what is this Lord's coming for the church?
You can have it wrapped whatever company you're with.
The first mention match of the rapture. In the book of Revelation, they're not doing that.
But I can still contribute.
Like I said, this event is what we commonly refer to as the rapture. Now, you will not find that word rapture in the Bible. But that word rapture simply means called out. The church will be called out or called up. Whichever you prefer. It will be called out or called up.
You're prior to tap into that,
the tribulation,
to this because you get
believers The overcomers will be called up. The lost ones will be right here. The lost will be right here. Now, I hope you can see the dangers that still exist for the people of God. And just like in Ephesus, we can be zealous and orthodox, but at the same time lose our devotion to Christ. Lose our devotion to Christ. Like Thyatira, our love can be increasing, yet lacking in the discernment necessary to keep the church pure. Now, how do we keep the church pure? By obeying God. Doing our best that we can possibly do to sin less. We're never going to be sinless, but as long as we're on this earth, but we can sin the less. Some of us can, anyway. I'm not going to mention any names or initials. Anything else, I'm going to be nice. If you can believe that.
So far, the motor's running. We'll see.
Our love can be increasing, as I said, yet we can lack the discernment necessary to keep the church pure. Like Pergamos and Thyatira, we may be so tolerant of evil. And there's a lot of evil in this world. Oh my goodness. I've never seen anything like it. Never. I've been around here for years. And I've never in my life have I seen anything like what this world is today. Never. Never. I mean, it's to say it's bad is an understatement, in my opinion. And it's only going to get worse as we go on. It's just like the Bible says, men will wax worse and worse. Things are going to get worse and worse. Men are going to, women too. Y'all ain't, you're no better than we are. Things are going to be, are only going to get worse before they get better. They're going to get a whole lot worse before they get better. But the good thing is, when the Lord comes, when you hear that trump God, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. If it comes right now before we even dedicate this church, if it comes right now, hey, that's fine with me. Preacher's going to be here preaching. You want to find somebody else to do Sunday school, but there's something out of here. Maybe the Brother Dave will do it. I don't know, you know. Now, we would probably pick Smyrna as the most spiritual church of the four we've talked about so far. The Lord did. But we should remind ourselves not to judge God's people. Not to judge God's people. Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? Who's the preacher to lay judgment on you? Now, it's their job, it's the preacher's job, our pastor's job. If they know you're doing something wrong that's not scriptural, it's their job to go and tell you about it. And let me tell you this about that. If you don't like it, if your toes get stepped on, guess what? You need to hear it. You need to hear it. There's a reason they're coming to you and telling you that you're doing this wrong or doing that wrong or whatever situation may be. You're not living right. Whatever the case may be. It's their job to come and tell you about that. And they should. Because it's scriptural. It's scriptural. whether you like it or not. Take it up with God. Don't be mad with them. When and if you get to heaven, take it up with God. Ask him about it. But these men, that man right there and this man right here, they care for your souls. They care for your souls. They care about your souls. That's part of their job. If I know you're doing something wrong, and I don't come to you and tell you about it or say something to you about it, I'm in the wrong. But it's really their job. It's really their job. That's what they're called by God to do. Like I said, you know, like it or not, if they come to you and tell you, like it or not, it's their job to tell you. Take it up with God. Don't be mad with him. Only the Lord truly knows what is in your heart, what's in my heart. Only the Lord knows. Remember I talked about that x-ray that the Lord takes, that x-ray of the whole church. The x-ray is the church. Well, he knows your heart. He knows what is truly in your heart. He knows how you feel about him. He knows how you feel about me. He knows how you feel about these pastors. He knows what you think about him hanging on that cross. You can run. You can hide. You can slip and slide. But you can't hide from him. Nowhere. You can get under your bed. I don't care where you go, under the house. You ain't hiding from him. He knows. And there's only one or two places you're going to spend in eternity. One or two places. And the choice is entirely up to you where you spend that eternity. You're going to spend it in heaven, or you're going to spend it in a pit of hell. And that pit of hell that you think you're going to have fun in, where you're going to be joining all your other friends and all that corrupt stuff we all used to do. I'll tell you a little secret. It's going to be no fun. It's going to be gnashing and wailing of teeth. I'm sorry, gnashing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what I'm trying to say, I think. But it'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Where the worm never dies. You're going to be wanting out of that pit of hell. Guess what? It's going to be too late then. You're going to remember each and every time you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and denied it. You're going to be thinking, oh, I should have done that. I should have done that. I want to do that now. But guess what? Too late. Too late. In eternity, forever, ever and ever and ever and on ad infinitum. That means forever. Long ways out. You're going to be in that pit of hell because you denied the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You had that opportunity to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. I ain't doing it today. Are you guaranteed tomorrow? Are you guaranteed this evening? You have, just as well as I do, you have an expiration date. Do you know when it is? Ain't like going to the store and buying a gallon of milk and you got the expiration date or the sell-by date on the carton or the jug or whatever they put it in now. You can buy a can of beans and find an expiration date on it. You know when your expiration date is? Is it printed anywhere on you? And your time's going to be up. I don't know. I don't know when mine is. That's why you better get right with the Lord. Today. Today. Get tomorrow. You might not make it till tomorrow. You might not make it out these doors. Never know. Only the Lord truly knows what's in your heart. With the exception of Smyrna, God's exhortation to the churches was what? Repent. 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 Turn from your wicked ways. Turn away from sin. Repent. Change your minds. Change your minds. How do you change your mind? The Word of God. The Word of God. How do you have a relationship with God? Pray. 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 But disobedient Christian, disobedient Christian can't change their mind. Not only does the lost sinner need to repent, but the disobedient Christian as well. What if we don't repent? Well, the Lord is going to judge us. He's going to judge our church. And may very well remove the lampstand. You remember what the lampstand is? We had seven stars and seven lampstands. Seven stars are the pastors. Seven lampstands are the churches. If we as a church have sin in our church, and you don't repent of your sins, that's a blemish on our church. That's a blemish on our church. God looks at that. We, like the church at Thyatira, don't repent of our sins. God gave us this beautiful building. God did this. He can take it all away. A whole lot faster than he gave it to us. A whole lot faster. Repent. Change your minds. Repent. Now, what a tragedy. Don't you think it would be a terrible tragedy when the local church gradually abandons the faith? Gradually abandons the faith and loses its witness for Christ. Some of you were here when we went through these seven churches. And the worst church that we will see is the church of the Laodiceans. The ones that neither hot or cold. But the Lord gives us a command here. He gives us a command. He says, and you see this all the way through where he's talking about these seven churches. He says, he that hath an ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If you're a child of God, you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. At the moment, at that very moment of salvation, at the very moment, Gilbert here said, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. At that very moment, the Holy Spirit came to live inside Gilbert. Just as he did me and you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's powerful. Are you denying Christ? Are you denying the Lord? Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you hearing what the Spirit says to you? Are you hearing what the Spirit says to you? Now we're going to look at this church, chapter 3. We're going to look at the church of Philadelphia. Church of Philadelphia, of course, we all know, most of us know, that Philadelphia means love of the brethren. Love of the brethren, or brotherly love. Brotherly love. Love for the brethren is an important mark of the Christian. I do believe I said last week, if you say you don't love your brother, you don't love your brother, wouldn't it be God? Wouldn't it be good if God had put in the Bible, if you don't love your brother, you don't love God? Well, you did that, didn't you? How can you love God and not love your brother? I can honestly say that in all my years, and I know I'm not that old, as some of you would think, but
bless him, Lord.
In all my years, I can honestly say I don't believe I have ever hated anyone. I've had some dislikes for people, and I came real close to hating one individual. And this has been many years ago. But I have always believe in what the Lord says when He says, vengeance is mine. I love it. I don't have to do a thing. All I do is sit back and watch. That's all I have to do. And sooner or later, glory to God, vengeance is mine. I don't lift the finger. You would not believe some of the things I've had to go through. I'm serious. I could write a book and you still wouldn't believe it. It'd be the truth. If you will allow God to fight your battles,
Amen.
Allow God to fight your battles, you can trust what I'm telling you right now. He will. He will. Take care of your battles. He will fight your battles if you allow him to. You don't have to do a thing in the world. You just sit back and watch. Sit back and watch. All you got to do. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's the very best thing I can tell you to do is trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Trust in the Lord. The church of Philadelphia had a vision. And that vision was to reach a lost world. Now God had set before them an open door. He had set before them an open door. Now, Jesus presents himself to the church in Philadelphia as He that is holy. He that is holy. Who can get more holier than God? Jesus is holy. He that is holy. This is the equivalent to Him declaring that He is God. Of course, He is God. Jesus is holy in character, His word, His actions, his purposes. And being the Holy One, he is uniquely set apart from everything and everyone else. Nothing at all. Nothing at all can compare to him. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. He is above everything and everyone else. I don't care who you are, who you think you are. You're not higher than God. The devil thought he was. Look where he's at. Look where he's going to be. He is true. He is true. That is, he is genuine. He's genuine. He's not fake. He's an original. He's not an imitation or a copy. He is true. He is the authentic God. He's not a manufactured one. He's not an idol. He's not made out of wood. He's not made out of silver. He's not made out of gold. He's not made out of stone. He's God. Before the foundations of the world. God. The God. The sovereign God. He is true. Now, there were at least two obstacles that this church had to overcome. The first one being their own lack of strength. And Jesus told them, he says, "For thou hast a little strength." This was not a very large or strong church, but it was faithful. He says, "It has kept my word." They were faithful in keeping the word of God. They were true to God's word. Not afraid to bear his name.
Stupid.
He says, "Has not denied my name." Now, it's not the size or strength of a church that determines its ministry. It's the faith in the call and command of the Lord. God's commandments are God's enablements. God's commandments are God's enablements. If they were given an open door by Jesus Christ, don't you think that he would give them the power and the strength that they need to walk through that open door and do what he has asked them to do? Let me ask you this. I would hope that everybody in here knows the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, which means you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, as I said earlier. Does the Holy Spirit ever talk to you? Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit talk to you? Have you ever been convicted of anything? Has the Holy Spirit ever told you that you should be doing something? What did you do? What did you do? When the Holy Spirit said, "I think you should be serving in a nursery. I think you should be teaching Sunday school or helping a Sunday school teacher. Or I think you should be doing something to serve the Lord at the church you're attending. What do you do? Listen. Or do you say, "I ain't doing that. Mm-mm, not me." I will listen to God. Not going to obey God. Some of you have heard me say this before. I'm going to pastor came to me and asked me to do adult Sunday school. I thought, what? Adult Sunday school? You gotta be kidding me. Now, I could get by with some first or second graders, or maybe third or fourth graders, adult Sunday school. Are you serious? I said, preacher, I gotta pray about this. Guess what? Here I are. Merciful heavens. You want me to teach it all Sunday school? Obey God. Obey God. What are you missing out on? If you don't obey God, you're missing out on it. It's like you're missing out on some blessings. Some tremendous blessings. What if God tells you to go clean the toilet? What if God tells you to go clean the toilet? And you're going to say, I ain't doing that. You don't know what kind of blessing you might be missing out on.
Amen.
I mean, it's not the greatest job in the world. I've done it before. Do it, huh? Yes, sir, Rob.
David was the king's armor bearer. Look at us.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. David was the king's armor bearer. Look what happened to David because he obeyed God. What are you missing out on? If God says you ought to be in church, I'm getting on some toes now. If God says you ought to be in church on Wednesday, you ought to be in church on Sunday morning, you ought to be in church Sunday evening, and you ain't doing it, are you obeying God? I think you might be missing out on some blessings. I mean, far be it from me to meddle in your life or anything like that. Don't you think you might be missing some blessings? Don't be mad with me. I'm just telling you what God says. It's not the size or strength of a church that determines its ministry. It's the faith in the call and command of the Lord. The faith in the call and command of the Lord. God's commandments are God's enablements. If He will open that door for you, if Jesus opens that door for you, He's going to give you what you need to walk through that door. He's going to help you right on through that door. I don't trust in me to do this. Believe me, I don't trust in me at all to do this. I know me. I know me better than anybody knows me other than God. He knows what I'm going to do before I do it. That's scary. I don't trust in me. I trust in the Lord because I cannot do this on my own. I would not attempt to do this on my own. Ain't no way. Now, here again, we saw the synagogue of Satan. Synagogue of Satan. Those that say they were Jews and were not. This was the second obstacle they had to overcome. The opposition of Satan. The opposition of Satan. Satan is the accuser. He will use even the most religious person, the most godly person or people to assist him in his evil doings. Unbelief sees the obstacles, but faith sees the opportunities. Unbelief sees the obstacles, but Faith sees the opportunities. Now, since the Lord holds the keys, He holds the keys to heaven and hell. Since He holds the keys, He's in control of the outcome. So let me ask you this. What is it? What is it you have to fear? What do you have to fear? What do I have to fear? No one can close the open door as long as the Lord keeps it open. No one can shut the door on what the Lord has told you to do other than you denying to do it. No one can shut that door that He has opened for you unless He does. If He tells you to do, if He tells you to go clean the toilet. If He tells you to vacuum the floor, vacuum the floor. If He tells you to sing in a choir, sing in a choir. Whatever way He tells you to serve, serve. Don't be scared. Faith. That's what it's all about, faith. Have I ever seen God? No, I ain't seen Him. Have you seen Him? No, you ain't seen Him either. But you trust in Him. I hope you do. You trust in Him. You're supposed to trust in Him for your salvation. You ain't trusting Him. You ain't saved. Plain and simple. You ain't trusting Him. You ain't saved. Oh, yes, I am. I gave my heart to the Lord. How'd you do that when you don't trust Him? The second encouraging promise we see, as the Lord said, He would keep them from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. All the world. And what is this hour of temptation? What is this hour of temptation? What do you think this hour of temptation is? It's the tribulation. The time of the tribulation is described by John in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. The promise that God will keep His church from this hour is a direct promise that the church will not enter into the tribulation. The church will not enter, that is, not this building. We make up the church. This church, this building is just a building. We are the church. And every believer that has trusted in the Lord as their Lord and Savior is guaranteed that they will not go through the tribulation. They will have a place in heaven. This is one of the many indications of a pre-tribulation rapture. The rapture will take place before the tribulation starts. The purpose of the tribulation is not for the saved. It's not for the saved, as some have wrongly taught. The saved are purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ. One precious drop of His blood is enough to cleanse us all of our sins by His precious blood. The purpose of the tribulation is for the lost. For the lost. Those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is why the saved are removed before the tribulation begins. Before the tribulation begins. In a very real sense, the church today is much like the church in Philadelphia. God has set before us many open doors of opportunity. He opens the door so we can work. We must be faithful to Him and see the opportunities. See the opportunities and seize those opportunities and not see the obstacles. If we miss our opportunities, we lose our rewards. We lose our crowns. How will you be before the Lord when the time comes? How will you be before the Lord when the time comes? time comes. Will you be there laying crowns at his feet? I pray I am. But will you be standing before him ashamed that you have absolutely, positively nothing to give back to him? Because every time he asked you to serve him, every time he asked you to do something, you said, I ain't doing it. What are you going to have to give back to the Lord? Do you have anything at all? Will you have a single crown? And there's five crowns you can win. Five crowns you can win. Are you missing out on opportunities? Are you going to stand before your shame because of missed opportunities? What are you doing? What are you doing to start going? What are you doing to serve the Lord? Are you denying the Spirit? What are you doing? What are you going to give back to the Lord when the time comes? I want you to think about that. The next time the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, are you going to do it? Will you do it? Or are you going to miss another opportunity? I'm going to stop right here. Next week we'll pick up on the church of the Laodiceans. That is by far the worst. Let's close with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you so very much, Lord, for your word. We are thankful, Lord, that you give us opportunities to serve you.
You wouldn't change on and do it, even if you don't.
I pray, Father, that any time you give us an opportunity to serve you, that we will seize that opportunity. That we will act on that opportunity, not deny the Lord what you would have us to do. You said, Lord, faith without works is dead. Help us, Lord. Give us the strength that we need, the courage that we need, to be able to walk through those open doors that you present us. Father, just let us do your will. Let us do your will for us in our lives. Lead us and guide us, Father, down that path in which you have us to go, that we might be able to do your will. Be with the pastor this morning, Lord God, as he breaks the bread of life with us. Give him the words, Father, that you would have us to hear. Open our hearts. Clear our minds so that we can be attentive to what the Lord brings before us through our messenger, through our star, our pastors. Father, we give you all the praise and honor and glory for it. Lord, I pray and I ask all these things according to your will, Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray and I ask all these things. That name above all names, the only name by which one can and must be saved, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank you all for your brother.